Mitch, as always, appreciate that. It's been far too long since I've spoken to you. Your dulcet tones have been very much missed on this program. How are you, pal?
I'm not too bad. I think the timing is actually pretty good. You know, I don't really want to talk that much, but well said, though, in the intro there. You know, today is one of those days where, you know, sports is a little bit of an afterthought.
It is. It is. And we'll try and kind of provide that little distraction today. Before we get into some of the nitty-gritty of what's going on with the Stampeders right now, I think it's important to talk about what they've done this season. They've clinched number one overall in the CFL with 3 weeks still remaining in the season. I guess for a guy who covers this team day in, day out, and sees so many other teams across the league, how impressive a feat are we talking about the Stampeders accomplishing with still 3 weeks to go?
It's very impressive, and you know, I don't think you can kind of just say it's this season. It's the last couple of years. It's the last 3 years. You know, this team has been, you know, has proven to be, you know, consistently the top team in the league in the regular season anyway, and you know, it's kind of continued into this year. And they've played well. They've played well in almost every facet. They've done what they set out to do. When you come into camp in late May or early June, the goal is to win the West Division, and they've done that with 3 weeks to spare. So I'm not sure what, you know, you could look at the season and call it anything but, you know, a giant success up to this point. With that being said, you know, this is the time of season that's, you know, kind of, they've run into troubles the past couple of years, and I don't think there's anything other than a Grey Cup win this year that, you know, would satisfy this organization and their fans and, you know, yep, pretty much everyone in the city. So, you know, they've done a lot up to this point. They've done a lot of good things, but, you know, this is kind of where it starts, and this is, you know, what we'll find out, you know, what this team is really made of.
When you think about this team not having Cornish for 7 games, and it looks like it's going to be an 8th game, we'll get to that in just a second. Bo Levi Mitchell missed a few games. Charleston Hughes and Jeff Fuller's barely played, and on and on and on when it comes to these injuries. That's what makes it even more impressive to me.
Yeah, I mean, without a doubt. I mean, you can't avoid that fact that this team has, you know, not only been hit by injuries the past couple seasons, but, you know, pretty much absolutely completely ravaged by injuries. And it hasn't been bit part guys. It hasn't been, you know, the 40th guy on the roster. It's like you said, it's John Cornish, it's Charleston Hughes, it's Bo Levi Mitchell going back to last year, it's Drew Tate, it's Kevin Glenn, it's guy after guy that are difference makers. I'm not sure. I know that the excuse has, it's never really been an excuse, you know, inside McMahon Stadium, but you know, even the excuse outside, I think people are starting to realize that, you know, this is just something this team's going to have to deal with, and they have dealt with. And you know, you look across the league, and every team's dealt with injuries. You know, how many starting quarterbacks have played all their games this year? Not a whole lot. So it's one of those things where, you know, it's an excuse, but it's not. And this team has clearly persevered through it. So I'm not even sure, you know, they want to talk about it. And at this point, you know, there's not much left to talk about other than, you know, how they're going to deal with this roster throughout the next month and you know, how they're going to get, you know, the optimal roster on the field November 23rd, because that's the only game that matters at this point.
Well, I want to get into that conversation in just a second because it's fascinating to me. But first, give us the latest on the injury updates right now, kind of what we're expecting for Friday against the Riders, who might not be in, who is in, and some new news today involving the reigning most outstanding player.
Yeah, obviously the big one just came down about half an hour ago. John Cornish is going to sit out Friday. At first, John Huffnagel would say that it was that he's sore and it's kind of a maintenance thing, and you know, there's no need to push him. But John came out about 15 minutes ago and talks about the knee that he tweaked in Regina that's still been bothering him. So he said he was pretty sore after the Winnipeg game, and you know, it kind of has been lingering a little bit this week, so he's going to be on the shelf this week. Charleston Hughes is also out. Those are the two main ones that you know, are kind of everyone's been talking about. But yeah, obviously a little bit of a surprise that Cornish is going to sit out. But I mean, if you're asking me, I think it's the right decision. You know, this guy is the engine to your football team, and you know, in a week in a game that that doesn't mean much against your hated rival, who's always amped up to not only stop him but to physically punish John Cornish. There's no way around that. This team likes to hit John Cornish, and they take every opportunity that they get to put a little extra mustard behind that. So I mean, I have no problem with them sitting him out this week, and we're trying to find out if this is, why not just sit him the next two and say that. But it seems like Cornish would like to play next week, but I think this is going to be a week to week thing for the next 3 weeks. It'll be see how he feels a couple of days leading up, and gauge where you're at, and then go from there.
In conversation with Scott Mitchell, our Calgary Stampeders insider from the Calgary Sun, here on the Big Show on Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Okay, in terms of managing the roster, in terms of managing players in the final 3 weeks before the bye week, what's your feeling as to how they're going to strike this balance between keeping guys healthy and making sure that they're not going to lose momentum and not going to get rusty? It's not an easy balance to strike, is it?
No, not at all. No, it's not an easy balance to strike, and that's the perfect word to describe it. It's a balance, and I'm not even sure that the coaching staff or John Hoffman will know how that balance is going to work at this point. You'll go into Friday night thinking one thing, and then if you have an injury somewhere or something happens, that plan could be completely scrapped. So I think they'll try to sit out a few veterans at points, and it looks like Cornish will be one of them this week. There were guys sitting out parts of practice this week. Some veteran guys, Juwan Simpson, getting a little break here and there, and you got to wonder if he's going to play the full three games, since he's played every game this season, one of the few Stampeders to do so. So it will be an extremely difficult balance. One thing that's a little bit different from last year is they do have 44 men on the active roster this year. Last year, obviously, in the old CBA, when they walked into Vancouver in week 19 and obviously lost three key guys, they were only dressing 42 at that point. So there is a little bit more roster flexibility. But I think what you'll see is the offense, I think, you need to find rhythms. So much of offensive football is about timing and rhythm. So I would expect to see Bo playing up until Vancouver. Maybe he plays the first half. It's so hard to say right now, but I think it'll be the veteran guys, maybe on the defensive side of the ball, that'll get a rest here and there over the next 3 weeks or so.
How much does what happened in the final game against BC last year play into the thought process this year? How much does the fact they lost some pretty key players in that game weigh on the Stampeders here?
I think it has played in. I don't know if you'll see it show up on the game day roster, but I think you've already seen it show up in how they're using their practice roster right now. There's a couple veteran guys that at different spots that they've brought in to kind of just so they have a little bit of insurance, because I think last year the practice roster, historically, I mean, it's used this time of year to bring in young guys, get them up to speed and see what they can do, and then shuttle them back into training camp next year. You've seen definitely a few more veteran bodies, Underwood in the secondary, Jordan on the D line, guys like that have been brought in to kind of give a few extra options, down the stretch here, and if injuries do hit. So it'll be interesting to see. I mean, I don't think Huffnagel hasn't talked about it, because he's been focused on game to game, week to week, but it will be really interesting to see if they do deviate from the strategy and kind of start sitting out a few more guys from last year, because last year they pretty much rolled the roster they had and let the chips fall where they may, and they fell on the injured list, and the Stamps were shaking their heads after that West final loss, wondering what happened.
It's funny because John Cornish was talking about it following last week's win, where they beat Winnipeg, clinched the West Division, and got themselves officially that buy-in in the first week of the playoffs. He said, we also need to make sure we do keep our momentum going, because they got beat pretty bad in that game against the BC Lions, and the Stamps kind of felt that they lost a little bit of their groove, a little bit of their the kind of feel they were in. So I'm curious, knowing the injuries, that weighs on their mind, but what about the fact they did lose a little momentum in that game? Does that weigh on their mind too?
Yeah, I mean, without a doubt. I mean, and this argument or this conversation is not unique in any way. You've gone through it. Remember years ago when, the the Indianapolis Colts would be, you know, sitting there at you know, 14-1 or whatever, and everyone would be wondering if teams are going to sit Peyton and things like that. So, I mean, that's the thing. It's this sport is so much about, you know, rhythm and timing and continuity and momentum and, you know, everyone being on the same page. And if you sit out, you know, a week or two or even 3 weeks, you lose some of that. And without a doubt, you know, there needs to be a balance, like you said, you know, a balance of managing the roster. There needs to be a balance of the roster versus momentum versus, you know, a team that needs to be playing good football, you know, in a final game that will come on November 7th when your next game is until November 23rd. You're absolutely right. You need some semblance of momentum heading into that 2 week break where, you know, you can say, look, we were playing well and this is going to keep rolling. So I think Josh Bell put it well to me yesterday. He said, you know, you need to keep that snowball moving down the hill. So I think that's what they're going to try to do. And, you know, it's not easy. That's for sure.
It's why that balance is still so important. There's no doubt about it. That's the word you have to use when talking about what the Stampeders are going to have to be thinking about in the final three games of the regular season. With our Stampeders insider, Scott Mitchell from the Calgary Sun, he joins us here on the Big Show on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Chris Bowman back with the Stamps, back on the practice roster. How do you see Bowman fitting in here?
I mean, at this point, he's a depth guy. You know, if he's coming off the ACL. I mean, a lot of people forget that he tore his ACL last fall in a practice here at McMahon Stadium. So this is the first time he's been back essentially since then. So, you know, he's with Brad Sinopoli done for the season with the broken collarbone. He's you know, an added Canadian body that if something happens, he knows the system and he's a veteran guy and he's been around the league. So, you know, this doesn't overwhelm him as far as, you know, possibly bringing in maybe a younger guy with a little bit more upside. But I mean, this is a first overall pick who's, you know, talking to him today. He was a little bit surprised to get the call, but he's grateful. And you know, I think he knows this is maybe his last chance. So, I mean, if, you know, you do need him, I think you're going to get a guy who knows his assignments and you know, won't hurt you. That's for sure.
Let's bring it all back full circle because we talked about John Cornish kind of to kick off the interview. He's not going to play Friday against the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, and he's going to miss another day kind of for maintenance reasons and just to make sure that you're getting the optimal out of him when the games really matter the most. Knowing that, knowing he's already missed seven games and knowing that he leads the CFL's rushing race by more than 100 yards right now, is he still going to win this rushing title? Like, even with the fact that he may not be playing the games down the stretch, I could still see him winning the rushing title right now.
Yeah, he could get 30 carries the rest of the year, and I'm still pretty sure he'll be in a pretty good spot. He'll be in the conversation, but you know, we're asking. I think the rushing title now is, you know, has kind of taken a back seat. I mean, everyone's talking about him as a potential MOP, and you know, we asked him about that today, and he doesn't even think he should really win it. That you know, with the as few games as he's had, but you know, we asked him kind of who do you think the MOP is at this point, and you know, he rattled off the same names that, you know, the media has been talking about, and then, you know, finished it with the same way the media has been talking about. But has any of them really stood out? So, you know, I think there's an interesting dynamic right now between, you know, the team goals and John Cornish's, you know, personal achievements, which, you know, he may not be striving for the MOP or the rushing title, but you know, he's in the conversation for both of them, and it's interesting that you know, that the team's success throughout the first 15 games of the season to put them at 14-2, you know, could potentially sewer the chances he has at those. And, you know, I definitely think he'll take that. He wouldn't have it any other way. But, you know, it's one of those interesting storylines that, you know, had the Stamps been sitting at, you know, 11-5 or something at this point in the season, you know, John Cornish would likely be playing and probably have, you know, probably be the front runner for the MOP if, you know, he's putting up the type of numbers that he is. So it's really interesting, and you know, John Cornish is an interesting guy, and you know, I think he'll be in the conversation for the MOP and the rushing title, you know, by the time week 20 rolls around.
Well, yeah, I was going to ask you, like, how much should he be in the MOP conversation right now, knowing that he has missed all that time, and yet here he is, you know, still with an opportunity to win a rushing title in just the pure definition of the title. That's pretty outstanding, isn't it?
It's unbelievable. I mean, and I've said it a couple times this year. I mean, you know, when John Cornish last year suits up in 17 games and does what he does, you kind of maybe take it for granted. And then this year you see him come in and you know, play and then miss six weeks and then come back and like he hadn't missed a beat. So, you know, I think if I'm a Stampeders fan, the one thing that I'm you know, feeling good about is, you know, John Cornish has proven he can take as much time off as pretty much he wants and come back and you know, be the John Cornish that everyone expects him to be. So, you know, even if he sits out, you know, if they didn't play him till November 23rd, I have no doubt that he would walk into that lineup, you know, in the West Final and you know, be the same John Cornish, you know, 7-8 yards a carry that, you know, we're all used to.
Scotty, you're a good man. As always, appreciate this. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right. Take care, Pat.